Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
Yes, Madam President, we do, with all members present.
Member Michelson, will you please read the board goals?
Certainly. Matanuska Susitna Borough School District, vision, mission, beliefs, goals, and principles. Vision: Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: The Matsu Borough School District prepares all students for success. Beliefs: We believe that the needs and the best interests of students drive all decisions. All students can and want to learn. Educational choices and community participation are essential to student success. Our goals: to improve student success, achievement, and performance, develop excellent educators and leaders, use innovative practices to improve the educational system, include families and community members in the education of our students, and to promote safe and healthy environments for all. Guiding principles: the guiding principles will drive our decisions and our responsibility to our students, families, and community. Stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, respect, collaboration, and commitment.
Thank you. I would now like to ask Ms. Trish Zug, Program Administrator of Career and Technical Education, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Where'd she go?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know.
Will someone please make a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that.
It has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing none, I would now like to make the announcement that we will take a break during the executive session, which is a little bit later on during the middle of the meeting. And we would like to invite and encourage everyone to visit the beautiful dioramas that are on either side of the auditorium that have been provided for us by Iditarod Elementary. Thank you. Now we would like to hear persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, will you please read the rules?
Yes, under this agenda item, persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comment should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of the board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee, or the board may take the issue under advisement. There's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting. This is the first half hour, but there is no one signed up on the list.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come forward at this time? Seeing none, we will now move on with borough and city reports. Mayor Cottle.
President Dearman, Superintendent Goett, board members, my name is Bert Cottle, Mayor of City of Wasilla. I have just a couple of announcements. First is, believe it or not, spring is here, and this weekend at the Menard Center, the Matsu Outdoorsman Show will be out there for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Doors open Friday at noon. Saturday and Sunday, doors open at 10. Also coming this weekend at the Menard Center is on Saturday the 24th, Boomtown Derby Dames versus the Destroyer Dolls. Main bout starts at 6 p.m. Coming next week on Thursday, March 29th, at the Wasilla High School, Alaska Vietnam Veterans War commemoration. The vendors will be there from 4:30 to 6 p.m., the main event. The ceremony starts at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. and come in on April 14th at the Wasilla Library between 1 and 4 p.m. Friends of the Wasilla Library will have their first monthly book sale. They're going to do one Saturday month at the new library. Hardbacks are $1, paperbacks are 50 cents. That organization raised just over $100,000 for us when we opened up the library. So that's a good event. That's a good fundraiser. And that's April 14th from 1 to 4 p.m. Also, just to give a plug in to charter school, they come down 2 days a week and do classes after school. They help kids with homework and stuff. And that's been a great program. They come down, there's no charge. Any student that has problems with homework or needs tutoring, they come down from community college and do a partnership with us. And that's been a real good program. So congrats to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Cottle. Moving on, Dr. Goyette, your administrative report.
Yes, so this evening, I'd like to invite up Justin Ainsworth, Executive Director of Instruction, and Trish Zug, Program Administrator for Career and Technical Education. And they're going to show you about our robotics program in the district, which is perfect timing because this Thursday is our third annual Tomorrow Tech Expo at Wasilla High School. So with that, I'll hand it over.
Good evening. Try this again. Good evening, President Dierman, Dr. Goyette, and honorable board members. Tonight, we'd like to provide a brief update on our robotics program in the Matsubara School District. Our update includes the following agenda topics: robotics overview, testimonials, instructional benefits, next steps, and concludes with questions. Robotics overview, STEM integration. Robotics integrates science, technology, engineering, and math. It's unique in its ability to incorporate all of these STEM subjects without doing this in isolation. It also makes these subjects come to life, real-world application for our students. Robotics is in our information technology business pathway. Courses include robotics, advanced robotics, competition robotics. The goals of the robotics programs include project-based, hands-on, robot design and programming, and introducing students to careers in the STEM fields. Tech Expo, tomorrow, Thursday, we have three booths. I believe six schools will represent those booths. Interesting side note, last year, Twinley Bridge won the robotics competition at the state level, and then took their team to Super Regions in Seattle. They won that competition, and then they concluded last year going to Nationals in Houston, Texas, and finishing third in Nationals. More recently, Thielen Middle School won the state competition in January at Diamond High School, and they are now taking their skills and their team to Nationals in Houston, Texas as well. Instructional topics, safety in the lab, mechanisms and simple machines, troubleshooting, programming, voice recognition, career exploration, and team building. These images represent robotics in action at Colony High School and Wasilla High School. Students working with their Lego robots, students applying STEM skills, and students working in cooperative groups. A major focus and emphasis and tenet of robotics is really collaboration, teamwork, and group-based problem solving. We also have, within this slide, we have a short testimonial from the robotics program at Wasilla High School. These are students at Wasilla High School.
Robotics is crazy. It's really amazing how much work goes into making a robot work.
I think it's a bit unexpected because it really gives you an idea of what the engineering process is towards how the modern day manufacturing is.
Well, I started off not knowing anything, but then over time I started getting the hang of things. Like I first it was the servos, then I started learning how to put stuff together, and then I learned a bit of programming. I don't exactly know everything, but I'm getting better at it.
I was surprised with how much work went into the engineering process before having the robot completely built, but I actually learned a lot, and it was really beneficial for me, and I'm sure other students as well.
It was actually a lot harder than I thought. It was fun, though. It was definitely interesting.
With the engineering notebook this year, it helped us a lot because we could look back at our past mistakes and really helped us, honestly.
I may use it as a hobby, but I'm not good at it enough to actually get a job in it yet, so.
Career-wise, yeah, it actually kind of became one of my options that I was considering, like, because, I don't know, coding always sounded fun for doing video games, but, like, actually doing, like, robots, it reminded me of Iron Man and stuff like that, which, like, it's always been, like, a big thing of mine, so being able to do something like one of my heroes was just fun.
When robots take over the world, I'm going to be ready.
I turn our report over to our program, CTE Program Administrator Trish Zug.
So in that light of testimonials, we also got to hear from our high school students, but some of our adults that are involved in the program gave us some feedback also. Mr. Notestein, John Notestein of Wasilla High School says, robotics is STEM education at its finest. Wasilla High School robotics students are embracing creativity, invention, and innovation with vigor. Brian Mead is out of our Colony High program, and he says robotics helps our students build their STEM skills for a future in our tech-centric economy. And then Mr. Wheatman, John Wheatman, the principal at Twin Lee Bridge with a successful program there, says the level of excitement surrounding the robotics program at Twin Lee Bridge is truly amazing. Robotics reaches a group of students who have expressed an interest in STEM. So kind of fun to hear what the feet on the street have to say, I guess. Okay. I'm going to speak to you just for a few minutes about the next steps, and I think what's important to understand is robotics is really embedded in a series of courses, and those courses are represented in what's called the Computer Science Technology CTE Program of Study, and that's where we link courses in increasing rigor. And so that starts with Computer Science 1 and 2, and then there's a series of the three robotics class. In that series is also two components of the AP curriculum. AP Computer Science Principles is the more intro level of the AP Computer Science, and that is followed by an actual intensive in the Java programming, and that's AP Computer Science A. So we look forward to really developing that out fully through that whole series of classes. Certification options that we look for growth opportunities for these students going through robotics program as well as that program of study would be linking them to industry recognizable certifications in areas of coding, and we see coding evidence in our middle schools. We see it really all the way down into our elementary schools, but certainly in the robotics program. And those type of credentialings would be in the coding languages, C, C++, Python, and really also having those students look for a certification and link them to certifications where they could also deploy their ability to show their project management skills, which is highly valuable in industry. A third next step that we're looking forward to this summer is we're going to do an intensive in June, and this is really to address the gender gap, and the gender gap in computer science is real, and it really is a non-traditional occupation for females. And so this organization put together a curriculum, and it's called Girls That Code, and we're looking forward to and excited about targeting a middle school group of girls that really starts them their interest in that pathway. Post-secondary options, I think the obvious linkages are to baccalaureate programs in engineering, whether it's electrical engineering, mechanical, computer science. There's also clear linkages to technical schools, which specialize in process technology instrumentation. And then also, of course, the military has a big need for this skill set. And lastly, the next steps that I wanted to mention is that when we do find students that are what's called a CTE concentrator, that is defined as a student that takes two or more credits in series in a CTE program. And so in this case, our data in MATSU, I'm proud to say that our students that are CTE concentrators have a 97% graduation rate. So it clearly adds relevance to their education. So with that, that concludes our update, and I think we'd be happy to address any questions.
Member Rutherford.
I know that some of our elementary schools have robotics clubs after school that are really popular, often Lego robotics. Those kids get a spark early and are probably going to seek out this sort of... but how do we get to the kids who maybe didn't participate in those clubs in elementary school? How are we reaching them to see, to spark their interest in coding and robotics and that sort of thing?
Through the chair, Great question. Yes, we have many of our elementary schools have robotics and coding clubs. Those are after school clubs. And those are intended to just create that excitement, generate that excitement in computer science. And hopefully that generates in excitement in middle school and high school. Tila Middle School right now is developing a program with with Shaw and Larson to develop kind of that pipeline of students. But it is a challenge. Trying to get students excited into robotics, into the STEM field is something that we're trying to overcome. I think robotics, though, is really powerful in that it's making it more applicable. There's a gamification piece to it. It's a hands-on, it's teamwork. And when we think of robotics, a lot of times we think of it's very technical and it's about the hard skills. But what I think our robotics instructors are doing a really good job of is they're incorporating the soft skills as well. And it's about teamwork and it's about communication. It's about problem solving. But it is absolutely a program. Of course, we would love to extend and have an outreach for all of our students.
And that is one of the purposes, the primary purposes of the Tech Expo, and why we have a daytime session where we provide free transportation. And predominantly it's our elementary schools that come to visit. And so we hope that that's going to generate interest in it. And when you're there, you'll see just the robotics booths, any hands-on booth where they're doing activities with electronics. The kids just swarm around. And an hour of code has become very popular in our school district. I cannot remember, is it February? When do you remember? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Recall.
We can get that information. Yeah. And also just do a quick poll on how many schools. But I think the majority of schools are participating in an hour of code during the school year.
I might add to that end quickly. We do have STEM instructors in each of our middle schools, and that was kind of one of our progressions of CTE in our district. And really, those students embedded in that curriculum are components that would relate to their getting them interested in the robotics program. So,
Member Michelson.
So it sounds like then that we're developing kind of a clear pathway of a kid who might be as a sixth grader interested in robotics and get in on some robotics, but there could be a clear pathway to STEM through our college system, university system. Is that something that we are like mapping out for parents and for kids within the state? And you know, the ones that would be studying that, would they have jobs? You know, to come full circle, to have an interest as a kid, a young kid, then to go through all these different opportunities into college and then back out to employment in the state of Alaska. Is it an obvious loop like that, or are we getting there? Or?
Through the chair, yes, we've defined a pathway for those students. So students who are interested in robotics would take Computer Science 1, Computer Science 2. As Trish Zug mentioned, they could take AP Computer Science. So there is definitely a pathway and a sequence of courses for students who are interested in robotics and computer science so they could focus in that area. And then hopefully that will catapult and transition those students into post-secondary education, whether that's a technical school, the military, university training. The reality is, I think it's the Office of Science and Math, STEM related occupations are growing at twice the rate of non-STEM occupations. So there's a huge need. Challenge, to be honest, with some of it's related to instructor capacity, and there's a fiscal note to robotics. It is not a cheap course.
Member Walton.
I heard you say something, 97% graduation. Was there any other statistics that kind of stood out for you, were surprising, things that you didn't expect to show up when you started to really look at what we're doing?
Well, actually, it wasn't really surprising to see the data because I think it's obviously linking relevance to education. But one of the other statistics that come out, and this is statewide, Alaska State, because they don't always give our data back to us district specific, although they did get some demographic data as well as graduation rate. And I do have that linked on our CTE website, webpage for the district website. But 79% of CTE concentrators in the state of Alaska go on to some form of post-secondary training. So that's another high number that really shows that once we add that relevance at an early age, we show the sequence of courses and, you know, that there's great data to support that model.
I don't know if board members remember when Jamie Cassup, the Google education evangelist, came for opening day a few years ago, and he quoted 2015 statistics. At the time, there was only 14 students in the University of Alaska system that had graduated that year in computer sciences. Remember, 11 of them were male, out of those 14. And there were over, when he looked, there were over 500 open technical computer science-related positions. So if we can get kids through these degrees, we know that they have a great opportunity for meaningful employment. And so, and the other thing that he had quoted was, it was just 10 kids in the state had passed AP Computer Science, had gotten credit for that. Now we have had schools that have had 100% of their courses pass the AP exam with a 5. Is that correct? No, just passed
Sioux Valley High School, I want to say 8 of the students who took the AP Computer Science exam, all 8 students passed.
Yeah. And so now we're having 50 and 60 and 70 kids every year with that AP Computer Science credit. So we've made really quick gains on this and really are the leaders in the state on it.
Member Larson.
So... what are you doing to encourage teachers to get involved in, say, traditional teachers that have been around for a while? Are you doing some PD days or trying to encourage them to get into this, STEM and into robotics and to look into the future?
Through the chair, I would say our attempts with traditional teachers are more personalized learning and still just incorporating using technology to personalize learning for students, to give them choice and to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all of our students. Robotics, I think, for students as well as staff can be, there's an intimidation factor there. And so we haven't approached other staff members. It's been a very organic process. Specifically, Mr. Mead at Colony High School and John Notstein really are leaders in this area, and they've been talking about it for several years. And we've just been fortunate to have their expertise, and hopefully we can use their expertise along with Twinley Bridge and what Thielen Middle School is doing. I think it's Chancey Zart. He's a science teacher at Thielen Middle School, and he's the one who took those students to the state competition at Diamond High School, and he's taken them to Houston. So hopefully internally we can use those experts to grow this program.
Well, hopefully so. We got some new principals coming online, you know. You can always talk to them about that.
We do, yes. You know? Two of them, I believe, are in the audience this
evening.
And
actually, we have historically for the last probably 7 or 8 years offered to pay for in-state professional development at the Response to Intervention Conference. And 2 years ago, we offered to either pay for the Response to Intervention Conference or the Alaska Science and Technology Education Conference, ASTE. So we have had an increased participation in that, and we present quite a bit at that. And Goose Bay actually did present, and it was, I believe, robotics in primary. That's not the exact title, but so we do have leaders that are out there that are growing it. So I think, this certainly is our most advanced and tech-savvy teachers that are interested in this. But I think teachers that are new to teaching automatically have a background and automatically will gravitate towards this style of teaching probably quicker than maybe I might have.
Just one quick add-on, because robotics and STEM and electronics also goes into the to the trades, you know, like boilers and building maintenance. And, you know, everybody sits around in a nice, comfortable building like this and doesn't really understand what it takes to run it through electronics and everything else. So the field's not only open in the tech industry, but it's very much open in the trades area. I had some work done on the boiler, which I can't touch because it's all electronics now. And I was talking to the tech guy, and the average age there is in the upper 40s, you know, and they're just starving for people to come in and do that. So that's part of the STEM work to also look at these other fields that are associated, because everything's electronics.
Member Michelson.
That's another question. It sparked my interest with the Girls That Code program. I know that when my girls were in middle school, the idea was that, you know, they kind of told us to brace ourselves for a drastic drop-off in interest in science and math with girls, but not necessarily with boys. So has that kind of changed a little bit? Or I don't know if that's like an organic thing or if that's simply... Is our institution, you know, have we discouraged girls and encouraged boys inadvertently over time, or
how, no, is that I different think some today? Of that is has been the nature of science and technology, but there are very explicit efforts such as Girls That Code that go on. I know in particularly to the IT area that I used to instruct, we had girls networking days. They have women in engineering days that we advertise for our students to go out to in Anchorage, and that was another linkage we have to the university. We correspond with their dean, Dr. Barlow is their dean of engineering, and they have a K-12 STEM coordinator, and a lot of their efforts are working with us to make sure that they advertise those opportunities for us to kind of massage that non-traditional side of the occupation. But I think that, you know, without having the data in front of me, I think there's a growth pattern there, for sure.
So it sounds to me like it's less, like, developmental and more... We're just doing more to get it out there and to involve girls in that. Because the way we had kind of talked about it, back in the early 2000s, was that there was just something about girls in science and math that just didn't seem to be true to me. And I didn't really believe it, but I really thought that maybe we were just inadvertently, you know, our perception is that, you know, boys would do better at that for some reason.
I think the STEM approach itself is the whole initiative behind the STEM approach, which really starts at a national level. There's quite a bit of momentum behind it. It really talks about inquiry learning. And inquiry learning is about project-based learning and problem solving. And it's really about the student picking the project and picking the problem, then going through formal problem solving. And so really they encourage that those problems are real-world problems that really aren't separated by gender specific. So I think that just the curriculum, the way it's developed itself, is more inviting for females to engage in maybe a problem that they see as not necessarily a female issue, but something that isn't just male-based. So I think the curriculum does a better job in and of itself of inviting non-traditional.
I can speak to our representation in math. We have made huge gains as an education system in having higher representation of girls in higher level math classes. And kids, it's very interesting. Very few kids will have polar beliefs about I'm good at social studies, I'm not good at social studies, or I'm good at English, I'm not, but people polarize themselves in math. And you hear parents will say it in meetings, well, I wasn't good at math, so my kids aren't good at math. And so I think we've worked very hard at changing that mindset. And when you look at our demographics, and we can run, because now I'm really curious to know exactly what it is in our advanced placement tracks. We'll look at that for you and have a report out. It'd be very easy to do it by gender. But when it comes to computer science, I think it is still more male-dominated. You look at gaming, the number of boys that are gravitating more towards gaming in general versus girls. So I think there might be some interest there, but we have a responsibility to make sure that that we continue to make sure that we let girls know that they can achieve anything that they want to achieve and have those interests out there. So I liked how Trish Thug had said there's
explicit efforts to increase that, and I think those efforts have shown in math over time. Thank you both.
Thank you for your time.
Moving on, Mr. Michael, your Student Advisory Board report.
Student Advisory Board has not met since our last meeting because spring break. But that doesn't mean that our school district isn't doing awesome stuff. We've had people all over the place, whether it's Colony and Wasilla at Basketball State, or Colony and Career Tech in Costa Rica, or Palmer High in France and Italy. But Student Advisory Board will be ramping our gears back up on the first Tuesday in April, which is the 3rd. We will have a meeting at Colony High School, probably, but maybe not, because PEAKS testing will also be going on at that time. And then we have our joint meeting at the King Career Center in Anchorage on April 19th. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Dr. Goyette? Thank you. We'll pull up the superintendent's update. There's actually several updates that I'm really excited to share with the board. Even though we had spring break in between our last two meetings, we've actually been quite busy. It's hard to believe that after this board meeting, there are only 5 school board meetings left in the year. And per board member request, we are chunking out our board goals and objectives year-end report for you. So we will be giving one each of the last 5 meetings of the school year. And we're going to go in reverse order of your goals, starting with goal number 5. The next board meeting, it'll be promote safe and healthy environments for all, and we'll include our internal review that we've done on our school safety prevention and preparedness report for you. And we're very excited to share everything that we've done in that. So, and this will also allow us then with the last board meeting in June to include our year-end assessment results for you in MAP. I do not think we'll have the state assessment back yet, but we will have our MAP and early childhood AIMS web data back for you. So that's the order that you're going to have them, and hopefully we can go a little bit more in depth, and it'll chunk out the amount of information that we're providing it in an individual time. So along with safety and security, I just want to give you some updates on things that we've been working on. Of course, I had said that we're going to do our administrative report for the board at our next meeting. We had talked about doing a Facebook Live event this next week, but we chose to postpone that so that the board is the first one that hears the update. So that will be Thursday, April 5th at 5 p.m. We had tremendous online sites, views with our live budget. So we're looking forward to doing that again. And we are going to launch a school safety survey. And we're going to send it out via our Blackboard Connect, our mass notification through email to all of our parents to make sure that they have direct access to it. We'll also be placing it online for community members, staff. We'll be sending it to our principals and sites so that we can have a variety. And it will disaggregate between if you're a parent or a community member or a school member. And in this survey, we're going to ask a variety of safeguards that parents would like to see as what we currently have in place from our tip lines and our lockdown systems to if additional things that they would like to see. Potentially, would they like the school resource officer program to expand? What are their thoughts on staff members carrying guns? We think that it's important to let the community weigh in on the conversation. So that will launch that survey that evening of the Facebook Live, and we hope to use that at the board retreat to help guide the board's direction for the district in fiscal year 19. The Palmer School Resource Officer, about a year ago, Chief Ketterling with the Palmer Police Officer approached the district and was interested in expanding the School Resource Officer Program. Of course, we started that with Wasilla approximately 5 or 6 years ago, And so Tuesday, March 27th, the City Council will be weighing in on if they would like to co-sponsor that. The school resource officer position, 75% of it is paid by the school district. Really, the days that schools are in session, that police officer is on site of the school. And then when school is not in session, really in busier times during holiday traffic and during summer months, then they're an additional workforce for the police department. So it's a real win-win cooperation. So we're excited about that. That is something that Palmer City Council or Palmer Police believes that if the council supports it, they could start this school year in August. And also along this lines, Mayor Burt Cottle set up a meeting with our district and Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, William Comer. We met last week and talked about being able to expand the Wasilla SRO program outside of the city jurisdiction. That's one of our areas of concern, is all of the areas where the troopers are, which is really the majority of our schools that are outside of city bounds, and with the limitations of troopers, all the trooper positions being filled, being able to really have a quick response. And so we are looking at the possibility of one in the Houston High School, Houston Middle School area, and one in the Colony Middle, Colony High, Valley Pathways area. So one in the core and one in the north west, and hopefully, if that's something that we're interested in pursuing with training, Mayor Cottle thinks that they could start as soon as January of 2019. So we believe that this is something that that the public, our community, would be very interested in expanding. We've had tremendous positive success with the Wasilla Police Department at Wasilla High and Wasilla Middle and Burchell. So we're moving forward on those. And also in line with our really our safety and school opportunities, the board talks a lot about making sure that we never let kids, that we lose touch with them. And so we have created an alternative setting. I want to give huge kudos to Lucy Hope and Dan Molina and Amy Spargo for working on this. This is going to be a school for students who have either been expelled from our district for a weapons violation or suspended from our highest setting, Pace or Matsu Day School, either with an IEP or without an IEP, and it will be outside of the traditional school day. So these are students that we have high safety concerns. They're high-risk students, and so Monday through Thursday at the Matsu Day School, where we have a new facility that really has a lot of safety guards built into it, we will have two staff members from 3:15 to 6:15. One of the staff members is Michelle Saro. She is a day school teacher currently. She is outstanding at working with at-risk youth. And Dave Bond, who is the Palmer High School Safety and Security Coordinator. So kids will enter into a Sallyport area where the building is locked. They will be searched. All their personal belongings will go into a locker that they can safeguard and secure before they're allowed into the building. And their curriculum will predominantly be through APEX, our credit recovery and acceleration model. But we will do individualized instruction as they need. And we're trying to negotiate right now with DJJ to have a third person on site. DJJ is open to this idea. They just need to make sure that they can meet the staffing needs. So we are very thrilled with this idea. We will be talking to you about two student expulsions in executive session this evening. And this is an opportunity where we could make sure that we don't have students out there in the community that we're not connected to, that we're not keeping hope alive for them. And as you remember, the situation is Florida was a kid that had been expelled a year prior from the building. So I think that that commitment from the board is huge to make sure that even when kids make really bad choices, that we continue to have positive adult connection with them. So super excited about this.
Member Rutherford.
Member Rutherford.
I just wanted to clarify, you said that it'll be at Matsu Central, the new Palmer location? Or the,
no,
or
I'm the, sorry. Oh, it's at the one. Matsu Day School.
Yes. Oh,
I apologize.
The Day School.
It's at the Day School.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the Day School has additional safety and security features within every classroom and within the building itself. Last night at the assembly, we've had some questions from the assembly and other city councils when we've been out and talked about funding, about really the quality of our diploma. And so we asked Dr. Erin Holmes, she's the Associate Vice Provost of Institutional Research with the University of Alaska Anchorage, to come out and talk about our data on how our kids are doing when they move on to the University of Alaska system. And she came out and talked about English and mathematics and also how kids were doing in their first year, the attrition rates. And in English, 6% of our students going on to the University of Alaska system did require remediation. And this includes all students, students that have special education, maybe students that have English language learning or just struggled with reading and writing skills. 66% tested at the college ready level, so they went right into college English, and 28% tested out of English requirements, usually through AP credits. They brought in the English credits that they needed and did not even need to take that for their degree requirements. In mathematics, 25% of our students do need remediation. They need to take a class that does not bear credit. 41% test in at the intermediate level. They don't offer that in English, but in mathematics, they have an intermediate level. It is not bearing degree for like a STEM degree, but it is credit bearing. And then 33% were college ready. So this made sense to me, and I think most people, because students practice reading and writing in all of their classes. But student is required in our district to have algebra on their transcript, geometry on their transcript, and one math elective. So they could take algebra as a freshman, geometry as a sophomore, and then take maybe accounting in their junior year, which is a rigorous course, but doesn't maybe practice those some of the foundational math skills. When they're testing into college math, they might have a two-year gap. So things that we're doing to try and help with that, we partnered with the University of Alaska. We're offering all of our students in their junior year free ACT paid by the college in the hopes that then if they find out where they're going to place, that they'll take another course in their senior year if they need that. Of course, we're offering more dual credit opportunities to really help with that scaffolded mathematics like through the middle college. And finally, if you want to get the APS, the Alaska Performance Scholarship, that encourages students to take a 4x4. A 4x4 is 4 years of math, 4 years of literacy, 4 years of science, 4 years of social studies. More and more of our students are doing that, which means they don't have the math gap when they're going into college. So overall, what we learned from this and what I shared with the assembly is that they should be proud of how our students are doing when they're moving on to college. We, as every other school district in the nation, need to continue to find more effective ways to make sure that our kids are achieving high levels of mathematics. That overall, our students in their first year, she shared, are attaining at or above levels of making it through their first year of college. So we were very pleased with her time and that she came out. And the chancellor for the University of Alaska Anchorage, Sam Gingrich, was also present with her. So finally, I always like to end on something special happening with our kids. This is Jesse LeBeau, and he is a motivational speaker. He is a basketball trickster, and he has a reality TV show. He is from the southeast of Alaska, and has volunteered. He's doing 14 assemblies over the next 10 days, ending with a giant block party next Saturday at Colony High School. Jillian Morrissey has put together this event in partnership with United Way. It's free to the district, Matsu Health Foundation, South Central Foundation, Healthy Schools. A variety of organizations have paid for this. And next week, there'll be filming crews on sites for his reality TV show. So we talked to Brendan McMahon, and he has participated in a lot of motivational speaker assemblies. He said by far this was the most engaging. About 120 kids stayed after the assembly to talk with Jesse. So we're super excited about that. So that is the end of the superintendent's update.
Thank you, Dr. Boyette. Will someone please move the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of March 7th, 2018?
I move the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of March 7th, 2018.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we'll move on now to action items. Will someone please move action item A, Goose Bay Elementary Principal New Hire?
I'll move item A, Goose Bay Elementary Principal New Hire.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We have an administrative report.
Yes, it is my pleasure to welcome Justin Ainsworth, Executive Director of Instruction, again to the podium to introduce the candidate for Goose Bay.
Good evening, President Dierman, Dr. Goyette, and honorable board members. Pending board approval, I'm pleased to announce that Isla Brown has been selected by the School Advisory Committee at Goose Bay Elementary and the Principal Interview Committee to serve as the next principal at Goose Bay Elementary. It was clear throughout the process that Isla has a passion for Goose Bay and is really ready to lead Goose Bay. It was also evident that Isla is committed to the long-term success of Goose Bay Elementary. She stated unequivocally in her interview that she plans on maintaining the positive culture and environment that's been created at Goose Bay while also continuing to lead Goose Bay into the future. Isla has been in Goose Bay for 5 years as an elementary teacher. Interesting side note, she is a product of the Matsu Borough School District. She's a graduate of Wasilla High School, Warrior Nation. And we believe she is the first part of the first father-daughter combo in the school district. If you're not already aware, her father is John Brown, the principal of Matsu Central. As a result, we will not reference his years of service to the district. I'm honored to announce Isla Brown.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it. I am very honored to be here tonight talking to you again. I was here earlier this school year for one of the meetings. I came with a little crew, some of our Wolfpack crew from Goose Bay, just to share some of the great things that are going on at our school. And I am so honored now to be here introducing myself pending school board approval. He's taught me well already. that I am going to be selected to be the principal at Goose Bay Elementary for the 2018-2019 school year. So I'm very honored to be here to gain your support and your approval for this position. I do have some notes because I could probably sit here and talk for so long and have all of the emotions about all of the great things at Goose Bay Elementary, but I want to make sure that I touch on a few really important things that are near and dear to my heart. First off, I want to, as you guys know from a few weeks ago when you approved Rorka Spatz to be the principal at Swanson Elementary, I just wanted to, she's not here tonight, but just state her importance and impact that she has had on me her entire time at Goose Bay Elementary. I've been there for all 4 years that she has been there, and the impact she's had on me has been incredible. I've been able to grow from a very inspiring leader and see how impactful one person can be on an entire school and a school community and how it can trickle out. And now it's spreading into our entire district to another school. And I'm so excited that her and I now have this opportunity to partner with Goose Bay Elementary and Swanson, our only two pre-K through two schools in the district, to really make this kind of cross-district connection, collaboration within our schools, and then allow that to just make a great impact on a bigger part of our district. And also, this entire process has been very intense in all wonderful ways for me. It's challenged me to really take everything I've learned and to reach out to so many different people in our district. And it's just given me such a humbling appreciation for everyone in our district, from our wonderful superintendent all the way down to the relationships with students and staff and families in our school district. And I could not be more grateful to have, like Justin said, grow from this valley and then to come back and to really ground myself and start my career here as a principal. And so my goal, like Justin said, is that I am very passionate about our climate and culture that we have created at Goose Bay Elementary. It is, if you remember, we talked about this when we came a few months ago in the fall, about that there's this magic that you just kind of feel when you go to Goose Bay Elementary. And it's not something you can really describe. You can look at our amazing data, all of the great things we've been doing in those aspects. But when you come into our school, you can feel it. And I'm so excited that I get to continue to build on this. And our school is at a place where we are ready to take all of this greatness, continue what we are doing, and really take the next steps to not just be growing in our academics and our data and being aware of trauma and what kids are coming into us with, but really take the next step. And my huge goal that I am very passionate about is taking our staff to the next level to become a trauma-sensitive school. So those are some of the things I'm very excited about to continue and to grow on. And once again, I just wanted to thank all of you for what you do and the time you give and the dedication. I am obviously so very, very proud to be a part of this school district. So thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and make any comments or statements, questions? Are there any questions from the board? Mr. Larson.
Borka warned me.
Thank you, Madam President. You probably know this from your family, but when I go around and talk to principals and been in and out of the business for years because I had kids in school and my wife was in the school district and my daughter is and so forth and so on. So when you ask anybody out there, especially a principal, what's the hardest part of the job? And are you prepared for that? And that's dealing with the public, with irate parents, with disciplinary problems. All the things that you expressed to us are all the cool things, but what do you think is going to prepare you for that element of, as well as maintenance? Everybody forgets maintenance and building cleanliness and everything else. How are you going to deal with that? Or what's prepared you for that, I guess?
That's a great question. Thank you, Oli. Yes, I did mention some of the great things. All the things that you mentioned, dealing with parents and difficult situations and challenges, that is one of the big, but I don't see that as a negative thing or something that scares me, because how I'm going to deal with that and all those situations that come up, something else that I talked about probably way too much in my interview and the whole process, is how one of my foundations, one of my stakeholders is relationships. So having positive relationships with those families, with those parents, with everyone in our staff. And when I talk about our staff, it's not just the teachers, it's every single person. We have two incredible custodians, Matt and Bob. So just having relationships with every part of all of our key communicators, everyone when those difficult times come up with students, having those relationships established with parents beforehand is going to make the difference and really know that I am there to partner with them.
One follow-up.
Yes, please.
Thank you. I know you have some mentors, but they're awful long ways away, and you have one next door. When you talk about sharing with your other mentor in Palmer, what kind of things are you going to develop between the two schools?
So we actually, Swanson and Goose Bay Elementary, are signed up to do the trauma-sensitive training for our SAMs, and those are... That's something that Rourke and I are both very passionate about, just to equip our staff with all of the knowledge and skills that they need to support what our students are coming to us with every day. So that's one of the main things that we are wanting to partner with together. And then also just to give our staff opportunities to connect and make those connections, because we do have a very unique setting. We are pre-K through 2. We really are that foundation for families and students into their education. So just being able to make those connections within our staff and then also focusing on the trauma sensitive for our school.
And just make sure you steal a lot of those homeschool kids away from your dad, will you?
I got that. Thanks.
One of the things that I've been the most pleased with Miss Brown is for every year that she's taught in our school district, she's been nominated for the BP Teacher of Excellence Award. This is one of the most coveted awards by teachers in our district because it's not a self-nomination. It's nominated by usually parents or other staff members in the building and oftentimes veteran teachers. And so to have that year after year really speaks to your credibility as an instructional leader, I think, and will really be a great foundation for you as you work with that team.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no more questions from the board, we'll go ahead and vote. Congratulations, Principal Brown.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Will someone please move action item B?
I move action item B, elementary, Iditarod Elementary School principal new hire.
Second. Yes. We need a second. Did we second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We have an admin report? We do. It's my pleasure to introduce Tracy Peterson, one of our other executive directors of instruction, and she is going to talk to you about Brian Porcello, the candidate before you for Iditarod, and I'm very excited about this. Mr. Porcello and I worked together at Shaw Elementary School, and he is an outstanding educator, and I believe will be an outstanding instructional leader as well.
Good evening, Dr. Dierman, Dr. Goyette, and board members. It is my honor to present Brian Porcello for your consideration as the new principal at Iditarod Elementary School. Mr. Porcello has been with our district since 2003, which is when I had the pleasure of working with him. He was one of my colleagues. We both taught at Wasilla Middle School at that time. Mr. Porcello moved over to Shaw. He helped open Shaw Elementary in 2006, and he was a looping teacher there for 10 years. Not a loopy teacher, looping, okay? He has served for the past 2 years as the assistant principal at Meadow Lakes. In working with the Iditarod staff and community, I learned that they were looking for an experienced leader who would bring people together to work toward their common mission to provide the best possible learning opportunities and environment for all students. Throughout the interview process, Mr. Porcello stood out as a composed, collaborative leader who builds positive relationships, provides direction and support when needed, and who is dedicated to doing what is best for all students. Speaking for myself and probably for anyone who's ever worked with Mr. Porcello, I can tell you that he is a person of the highest integrity, and he has contributed to the success of our district for the past 15 years. And at this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Porcello to you. He can say a few words about himself and maybe about Iditarod Elementary.
President Dierman, Dr. Goyette, and esteemed board members, I would like to just comment on it would be an honor to serve as the next principal of Iditarod. And I want to assure you that I would work tirelessly to meet the needs, both academic and social emotional, of the students of Iditarod. And I would work diligently to create opportunities for teachers to grow professionally so that they can meet the needs of students across the spectrum. And I also want to put a lot of time and effort to bring the community to Iditarod to open the doors to create opportunities for kids. I'm honored and supremely excited to serve in that capacity. And thank you for the kind words. I'm a bit more brief, but I'm ready to roll.
Would anyone in the audience like to come forward and make any comment on Mr. Porcello? Would anyone on the board like to make comment? Mr. Larson?
Thank you, Board President. In a different note, as a principal, and another thing that principals talk about oftentimes is social media and how to get ahead of social media. A good example is after the shooting in Florida, social media picked up with innuendos and rumors and all kinds of stuff. I don't have an answer for this, and this is not a trick question, but how will you control that kind of social media when it gets going? How does one do that? You're the one that works on the line. Do you have any good ideas on what you will do?
I think it starts with trust and communication. So the more we reach out to the community and the folks that are directly involved with the school, and the more we invite the leadership to schools, we've got a clear understanding of who we are and where we're coming from. So if those lines of communication with folks are already in place, potential misunderstandings are reduced. And I think it's also important to keep a real close eye on what, in this case, Iditarod is putting out there. So we want to keep control on what's going out publicly. We kind of want to vet it before you put it out there. And it's just a matter of, if you get a crisis or a problem that's going to blindside you, to communicate with the appropriate personnel so that the structures that the district can offer can do its job. And again, just reaching out to those folks that we know and have some common ground with already.
Member Rutherford?
I just had a comment I wanted to say, because I know I joke all the time about how I bleed Palmer blue, but I wanted to mention how important Iditarod has always been to me as well. My mother retired from 10 years as a school nurse at Iditarod, so I had already graduated high school, so I spent a lot of time over there sitting in the nurse's office visiting with her, and I remember when the original Iditarod was built to mimic Swanson, and shared this building, and I was going to school in this building at the time, and we were just very proud of the fact that now Wasilla was getting a school just like our really cool school. And finally, I tell people all the time when I'm talking about our schools that, not to diss any of our other schools, but at the moment, I think Iditarod is the most beautiful school we've got in the district. It's just this last build on that school was just, it just really was nicely done. And I think those kids are really fortunate to have that cool environment to be in. And so you're a lucky guy. I think that's a great school to be in.
Thank you. And I'm very aware of that great legacy, you know, and that's a real great motivator to keep that going. Yeah.
Member Larson.
Just one other note on Iditarod's going through kind of a mourning phase. They've got a lot of issues, not a lot of issues, but if a mourning phase is just kind of blown off or not paid attention to, it festers, and you're coming in right into that. What do you think is the best method to handle that situation?
I've given this some thought, and I would want to first and foremost respect family's wishes and kind of honor their comfort zone and how we might move forward as a school. I have thoughts that might publicly acknowledge some wonderful things that occurred and also create a context for a Larson contingent that came with an Iditarod contingent that really bought in. And I'm very aware of a fabulous blueprint by a phenomenal individual, and I want to honor that in a very respectful way. And I wouldn't want to even go much further, because I think it's important that the family has the say in that and would guide how we would go from there, beyond some very concrete support that the staff is that the staff requires so that they can move forward and focus on what's best for kids and also focus on their wellness in terms of how that unfolded.
I would just like to say that for the past 2 years, Mr. Porcello has been at one of my districted area schools, and it's always been a pleasure to see his commitment to excellence and his relationships within the school when I've been by to visit, and I've no doubt that he is going to be an outstanding principal at Iditarod, and I'm very happy for you. But not yet. Almost happy for you. Almost happy. So the board is ready to vote, I think. Here we go. Yes, we are happy. Congratulations, Principal Porcello.
Thank you.
Will someone please move action item C, resolution 18-004, Alaska's Education Challenge?
I'll move item C, resolution 18-004, Alaska's Education Challenge.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We had an admin report last meeting. Is anyone in the audience, does anyone want to make comment on this one? Does the board want to have any further discussion or have any questions regarding this item? Mr. Michael?
I'd just like to say how strongly in support of the Alaska Education Challenge I am. I spoke on this before, but I think it's important to touch upon again. This is really the state reaching out to Alaskans for what they want in an education system, and that's what we're trying to do here also. So I really like the board's getting behind it, and we continue that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. The board will vote now. That item passes unanimously. Will someone please move action item D, resolution 18-005, fiscal year 2019 preliminary budget and local funding request.
I move action item D, resolution 18-005, fiscal year 2019, preliminary budget and local funding request.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Seconded. We had an administrative report at the last meeting. Does anyone in the audience want to make comment on this item? Seeing none, does the board... any board member have any further questions or want to have any further discussion on this item? Seeing none, we are ready to vote. And that action item also passes unanimously. Will someone please move action item E, board policy 0000 and 1000 series review and revision.
I move action item E, board policy 0000 and 1000 series review and revision.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We had an admin report at the last meeting, and I would like to say once again thank you to the members of the board who are on this committee and Assistant Superintendent Spargo for all their hard work that they put in on this. It is greatly appreciated. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make comment on this? Seeing none, any board discussion? No? Okay. We will vote. That item passes unanimously. Will someone please move action item F, contract approval of related service provider new hires for the 2018-2019 school year?
I move item F, contract approval of related service provider new hires for the 2018-2019 school year.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Dr. Goyette is going to
present some information on that.
So this is really the pre-authorization by the board of being able to, when our recruitment and special education comes across somebody in a hard-to-fill position, occupational therapist, speech therapist, school psychologist, that they have the authority to offer a contract to that individual. Usually we go through the process of in-district transfers, but we know that we don't have enough internal capacity to fill all these openings. So we don't want to wait until every other district has had the opportunity to get the best. So this just allows our employment recruitment efforts to really get us folks at the beginning of the hiring season.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make comment on this item? Any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, we will vote. This item passes unanimously. Will someone please move action item G, Charter School FY19 Calendars?
I move action item G, Charter School FY19 Calendars.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We have had an admin report previously. Is there anyone in? Yes, Mr. Walters, please come forward.
Good evening. My name is Tim Walters. I'm president of the Mat-Su Education Association. My apologies for not looking at this before today. But when I added up all the days, there's a mistake on one of the calendars. Academy Charter School has actually calendared 186 days instead of the 185 days. They have 185 listed, but I double-checked it and I had other people in my office count it up today. They have an extra day on there. So I'm not sure if you can separate this and approve the others, put this one on hold until it's fixed. I'll leave that parliamentary procedure up to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walter. Will a board member please make a motion to pull the Academy Charter calendar from this action item, and we will vote on the remaining calendars?
Before we do that, I'd like to make another amendment. Berriozova is not a charter school, and the title is charter school. I know that's kind of petty, but it says charter school FY19 calendars, and Berriozova is not a charter school.
Then we will also make a motion to pull Berriozova, because you're indeed correct.
I move that we pull Academy and Berriozova calendars from this and
from the main motion.
From the main motion.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We need to vote on that amendment. Member Ruth?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Tremor?
Yes.
Member Rutherford?
Yes.
Member Michelson?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. So going back to the original calendars, we will only be voting then this evening on Birch Tree Charter, Midnight Sun Charter calendar, and Fronteras calendar. So that has already been moved and seconded. Did.
Yep. Yep.
Correct?
Yes.
All right.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Do we have any more discussion on these calendars? Does anyone in the audience want to have any more comment or discussion on these calendars? Seeing none, the board is ready to vote on these three calendars. And that passes unanimously. Will someone please move action item H, revised 2017-2018 school year calendar?
I move action item H, revised 2017-2018. No, that should be 2018-2019,
so should
shouldn't
it?
No, no.
It should be 18. No, it's this
year.
Yeah.
It's this year.
Okay. It's this one.
All right, 17-18.
Who seconded that motion, please?
17-18.
I will.
Oh, Member Ruth. Okay, administrative report.
So this is based on the school closure day from February 26th, and administration is recommending that we take the professional development day on May 4th. We have very limited professional development days, but unfortunately the school year closes this year on a Friday, and so we're concerned if we brought students back on that following Monday that that would be difficult. So what we've offered to schools, especially at the elementary level, many of them use May 4th as a placement day into the next grade. Schools work very hard to have equal groupings of abilities and gender in classrooms. And so what we've offered is that we, the district office, will pay for substitutes so that groups of teacher teams can get together and still do those placements. So we hope that that will meet the needs of both of our families and our school staff.
Thank you, Dr. Goyette. Is there anyone in the public that would like to make comment on this item? Does the board have any questions or any discussion further on this item? Seeing none, we will vote. That passes unanimously. Would someone please?
Point of order. Just a discussion here, point of order, on the Berriozova, just because it was mistitled for the moving it. We had it on our agenda. It was there. Is there any reason that we need to delay it? This is a point of order. You can say yes, no. You can say there's enough time to take care of it at our next meeting. That would be okay.
We'll go ahead and take care of the April 4th meeting okay. with the other calendar.
Just wanted to make sure yes. that it was all right to do that. Okay.
Thank you. Will someone please make a motion to take us into executive session? Member Larson? Motion to take us into executive session?
I move to go into executive session.
Second.
Executive session AS 44.62.310 and Board Policy 9321 matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided that person may request a public discussion, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, matters of confidential legal counsel, or pending litigation. Present in executive session will be all members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Monica Goyette, Executive Director of Instruction Tracy Peterson, and Executive Director of Student Support Services Lucy Hope. Is there any objection? Hearing none, please remember that this will include the break. Please enjoy the dioramas. We are adjourned to executive session.
Move that we come out of executive session.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Will someone please move action item A, student expulsion case E18003 with recommendation?
I move. Item A, student expulsion case E18-003 with recommendations.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. We will vote. Oh, okay.
Everybody's logging on?
What?
Me too.
I don't know. I can't hear it. Kelsey, did you get logged in?
Kelsey, are you logged in? Okay. Are we in?
Yeah.
You okay, Member Ruth?
We have everybody.
That passes unanimously. Will someone please move action? Oh, no. That should be action item B. Action item B, student expulsion case E18-004 with recommendation.
I move action item B, student expulsion case E18-004 with recommendation.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We will vote.
Okay, second.
Yeah.
It was seconded by me.
That also passes unanimously. We have no non-action items this evening, and we are now on our second persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk.
I see no new in the audience. Please state your name. You have 3 minutes. Same rules apply.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and speak on any non-agenda item? Seeing none, we will move on to future items, future business. Upcoming meetings on April 3rd at 4 p.m. There will be a joint assembly school board meeting at Assembly Chambers. And on April 4th at 5 p.m., we will have special recognitions here at Central Office, followed by a regular school board meeting also here in this room. Correspondence and board committee reports. Has any member of the board received any correspondence or attended any board committee that they would like to report on? Member Welton.
The policy committee met again last week, actually during spring break, and we have gone through the 2000 series and made a few updates on that, and we are now looking at the 3000 series, which is massive, but we have to say that finance and Mr. Fulp have kept on top of things and have made changes so that many things are up to date. Thank you.
Mr. Michael.
There was a State Board of Education early development meeting Monday and Tuesday of this week. Adopted were two proposed regulations, one affecting a new form of teacher certification, specifically in world languages, and another about the chart of accounts, which Mr. Fulp was very instrumental in putting together. So thank you for that. And then also there are three new members of the State Board, including Lori Van Diest, who was a counselor at both Colony High School and Tila Middle School in the district, and she still lives up on Lazy Mountain. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Dr. Goyette.
Assistant Superintendent Fulp.
Thank you for the shout out, Charlie. No other comments. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I just congratulate our new principals. It's always very exciting when the board approves candidates. And I hope everyone is able to attend the Tech Expo tomorrow.
Mr. Michael, do you have anything else you would like to say? Go right ahead.
First of all, congratulations to all the new principals. It's a great school district, and it's probably going to continue to be just as great, if not greater. Also, be sure to keep track of what's going on down in Juneau, because the budget is being voted on as we speak in the House, and that could very much impact my education and the education of everybody else in this district and across the state. Also, hope you guys had a great spring break. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Member Tremor.
Congratulations to the new principals, and lots of events going on over the next few days. We have the Tech Expo tomorrow again. I've gone the last 2 years. I'm going to try my best to get in there tomorrow, because it's always a lot of fun to see that and see what the kids are doing, and it's amazing what they can do. And I have two elementary kids who will be going on a field trip to that tomorrow separately, and they were talking about it today. They went last year. The youngest went with me because I picked him up from school and took him because he wasn't old enough for a field trip yet. And they're both excited to go and see it, and they were talking about it again. So I like to see that excitement for our younger kids, too, to go and see that. Sporting events going on here in Palmer. There's a hockey tournament that's two out-of-town teams at MTA Event Center that there's going to be a lot of people here in Palmer for. And a non-school-sanctioned event at Palmer Junior Middle School for a lot of our kids wrestling there. It's one of the bigger tournaments in the state. There will probably be about 900 to 1,000 kids there. So parking will be fun at Palmer Junior Middle School this weekend. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Member Rutherford.
Oh, congratulations to our new Goose Bay and Iditarod Elementary principals. I want to say that I looked at the new school district app on my phone. It updated unbeknownst to me, and I think that the tip line is a fabulous idea. I think it'll be great to get the word out about that. I want to do a quick shout out and congratulations to our Palmer High student who had his debut of his second feature film at Glen Massey. I did attend that, and it was just fun to see the Glen Massey full of all these teenagers who had been in the movie or worked on the movie. All their parents were there. It was great. Charlie mentioned this, and I want to mention it also, all the national and international student travel going on. It was fun over spring break to watch, mostly through Facebook, pictures of our students traveling all over the world. And I just want to give a thank you to the staff, the MSBSD staff, who step up and take this on, because it just must be exhausting. But what a terrific experience that it allows those teenagers to have. I traveled to Europe in high school, and I have to say it was a defining event for me. I'm also very excited about the Joe LeBeau event. I hope to attend one of the assemblies to watch his presentation. I want to mention to the community and anyone listening that I hope everyone comes out to the event at Colony High, where he will be from 1 to 5 on March 31st. And before they do that, they should hop over to PJMS, which is also having a big event, a cabin fever reliever event, where there will be vendors and a big rummage sale all day. So people can come to town and see students doing great things at both Palmer Junior Middle and Colony. And last but not least, I just want to go on the record for my 14-year-old of saying that I reluctantly and sadly voted for the revised calendar, if he asks, because the word has already gotten out. The students already know that day has been taken away because they've already mentioned it because of that snow day, and they're not very happy about it. And I was asked, being on the school board, can't you just vote no on that? And I had to explain that we are required to have a certain number of days in the school year. It is state law. No, I can't just say no. They have to make it up. Thank you.
Member Walton.
I want to offer my congratulations to Isla Brown and Mr. Pacello. It's tough to be an elementary school principal, and I really congratulate them for going into the fray. They have, of course, all the backing of all the entire district behind them. And I have to say, Isla Brown, I knew her when she was a little child, because her mom and I shared an office when it was back in the days of LifeQuest. And so I have known her a long time. I wanted to say I was at the Justice Coalition this morning, and there was discussion about what was going on with some of our programs and some of our alternative schools and our PACE program and things like this. Many of the providers were asking about it. So it was really interesting that tonight you brought up the new possible rendition of how we might help those students that just don't fit into the regular regular schools and who need our care. Talking about technology, just want to say my daughter-in-law is an elevator mechanic, and to go from analog to digital, she's had to do that at several of the hotels in Anchorage, taking apart all the elevators and putting them into digital mode and computerized systems and stuff. And we need more people who know how to work on those and have the background and things like that. And she's in her 40s, so she'll need to have help coming up. And I really hope that the trades, as member Larson brought in, is the trades really will be going to more and more computer needs, and people will need to have the ability. And I will be heading to Juneau and talking to legislators and to other school board members around the state about our challenges and our things that we celebrate and how great we are. And I have a lot to say. Thank you.
Member Michelson.
Well, congratulations to the new principals. I really appreciate the kind of the energy and the experience and the thoughtfulness of both of those candidates, or both of those new principals. So congratulations to them. And thank you, Mr. Ainsworth, for the, and Ms. Zug, for the STEM presentation. That's just a really, really hugely important program to have in robotics. And I've gone over to Twinley Bridge a couple of times in the last couple of years to see just how all of that, kind of the behind the scenes, and it's a pretty impressive program. Lastly, I just want to kind of note that we had, you know, really kind of a bundle of really important things that we talked about tonight with regard to the potential of a school resource officer in multiple buildings, safety survey, and then the MATSU day school expulsion program. That those are all things that are tied very, very closely together, and I really, really appreciate the kind of the forward thinking of the district and the use of our facilities and resources to make things happen in sometimes an expensive way for a very small number of kids, but you have to look at what some outcomes might be for those particular kids as we move through and try to do things differently rather than the traditional expulsions, which equate to shutting kids out and getting them further away from appropriate adults. So I really appreciate the thoughtfulness of that, and we've got high hopes for those programs. So thank you.
Member Ruth.
I just want to say congratulations to our new principals. Thanks.
Member Larson.
Thank you. Congratulations to our new principals. I appreciate the STEM presentation. That meant a lot to me. Also, the objectives, goals and objectives that we're going to go over in the next five meetings. I'm looking very much forward to that. It's kind of nice to see what we've accomplished over the year. And, of course, the safety and security upgrades as far as everything that's going on, including the new how to help the alternative education opportunities. I know the assembly meeting's at 4:00, is that correct? Yes, which is unusual. And then our meeting starts at 5:00 the next night. So 4:00, the assembly meeting, right? Yeah, I just want to make sure that. Other than that, I hope everybody had a great spring break, and I look forward to plugging through the last quarter. Thank you.
Mr. Ainsworth, thank you to you and Ms. Zug for the great robotics presentation. That's always a fun thing. I never played with Legos, but
now they dance and sing, and I think that's an awesome thing, so thank you for that. Congratulations to Principals Brown and Porcello. How exciting for them. And I want to thank Iditarod Elementary for these lovely dioramas that are decorating our room here. They are just wonderful. They are so creative, so beautiful, the thought that went into them and the detail that is in each of them. I especially like that little white splash on the whale that is his tail. And if you haven't seen the whale splash over there, you need to check it out because it's really awesome. So thank you very much for everybody who contributes to making these meetings so meaningful and special week. Well, not week after week, but, you know, when we have them on the first and third Wednesdays of every month. So thank you for that. At any rate, that is all I have for this evening. So will someone please make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, we are adjourned.